curiosity, is there anyone here who enjoys a little bit of chocolate on Easter? Oh, yes. Well, do you know, I was doing some exploration. And yesterday, I found out what was the world record Easter egg, okay? This is it right here. This Easter egg, it's an absolute corker, let me tell you. So, it was made in Italy. It's 10.39 meters in height. It weighs an enormous 7,200 kilograms worth of chocolate, by the way. Now, that is one big egg. Now, just to give you a little bit of perspective, I love the little kind of Cadbury's little Easter egg. What are they called? They're called the Cadbury's cream eggs, right? Cadbury's cream eggs, you know what they are? Do you know how many Cadbury's cream eggs would fit in there? The same amount of chocolate as 180,000 Cadbury's cream eggs. Now, just in case you kids are wondering what it would be like, that egg would make you very sick, so don't even think about it. But you know, something else I really love about Easter weekend is they put on such great movies, right? Anyone else enjoy the movies at Easter? So, I was looking, though, what the movies were on this weekend. And so we had Shrek, right? Loads of people love Shrek. Shrek's a brilliant movie. But Shrek is the story of this dirty, intimidating ogre who comes to be royalty. Incredible story. And yet, I also saw that there was Mary Poppins, the absolute classic Mary Poppins, on this Easter weekend. You know you all love Mary Poppins, by the way. Of course, Mary Poppins is all about this supernatural nanny who steps into a family to restore the family together and to show them the way that they should live their lives. Then, I also saw that this weekend, and this is one of my personal favorites, don't judge me, but the story of Annie was on this weekend. I know. I used to love it. It was a kids growing up thing. But so Annie was on this weekend. And Annie, another phenomenal story, all about an orphan who had been adopted into the most incredible family as Daddy Warbucks rescued her from evil. And then, for you butch kind of guy folk in here, also this weekend on Sky was Thor. All right? Now, of course, Thor, which is, I agree, a terrible movie. But Thor was all about a guy who was sent down to Earth and became the hero who saved the whole of humanity. Now, what's interesting about these movies is this. In all of those four things, right here, this day, we get to celebrate the reality that that has actually happened in Jesus Christ. Amen? So, this is not about the movies, but Jesus has, by his grace, made us royalty. Jesus has shown us how to live and to live for others. Jesus has adopted us into God's family. And Jesus, our Savior, came to earth. This is good news because I want to tell you something. Jesus is alive. Amen? Yeah. Right now, I would like to just give you permission, okay? I want to give you permission to be excited and to be happy and cheerful this day. So, turn to the person next to you and say, you have permission to be excited. Okay, well done. But for some of you here, I understand. You might be wondering, what is it that you're getting excited about? I'm going to tell you. We get very excited about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Well, the first thing is this. Jesus separates the whole of human history. We have BC, before Christ, and we have AD, the year of our Lord, Anni Domini. And he, Jesus, is the most famous person who has ever lived. There have been more paintings painted of Jesus than any person who's ever lived. There's been more books written about Jesus than any person who's ever lived. There have been more songs written and sung about Jesus than anybody who has ever lived. Indeed, even Time magazine, the magazine from the United States, calls Jesus the most persistent symbol of purity, selflessness, and love in the history of Western humanity. But you know, the reason that we get very excited about Jesus is because we, along with more than 2 billion people across the world, worship him as God. Amen? I heard a story about some children who were lined up in the dinner queue. And they were lined up, and it was a Catholic school. And they got along to where there was a plate full of apples that they could take. And they saw a little note that one of the teachers had put next to the plate of apples that said, "Only take one. God is watching." So they wandered down the dinner queue a little bit further and saw a big plate of cookies at the end of the table. And one of the children had put a note on the cookies. "Take as many as you like. God is watching the apples." You see, we can sometimes make a mistake, okay? We can think that God is like this cosmic policeman watching our every single move, ready to come down on us hard whenever we were to do something wrong. But you know, the reality is that God loves us. And he came into our world, into our situation, and he really does love you, and he really does care. Jesus, the Bible says, is the picture of the invisible God. In essence, when you look at Jesus, you see God with skin on. If you want to know more about what God looks like, you can look at Jesus. We can look at his life. We can see the miracles that he did. We can see the healings and the words that he said, the teaching that he did, the way he loved those who were lost, the way he adored those, cherished those who were broken. He was somebody that even his enemies could not find fault in. The perfect one who showed us not just how to live, but how we can be drawn into the relationship that you and I were created for, a relationship with God. And you know, he's not even just known for his life. He's known for his death. And that is significant because he willingly laid down his life so that you and I might know him. Let me show a verse to you. This is a verse from 1 John 4. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Now hold on a minute. Sin? Sacrifice? What is all that? What does it mean? Well, 2 days ago, we celebrated a day that we call Good Friday. But it was a horrendous day when Jesus was nailed to a wooden cross, hung to die. How is it that we can call that day good? Well, it was good because it solved a very bad situation. You see, every human being in the history of the world is guilty before God. Picture it like this. There is a target. On the inner circle, you've got the words, love God. On the outer circle, you've got the words, love your neighbors. Every day we have the opportunity. We pull back the arrow, but instead of hitting the target, we go nowhere near the target. We shoot in the complete opposite direction. We've missed it. We haven't loved God. We haven't loved other people in the way that we have been called to. The Bible calls this sin. And it's sin that disconnects us from a holy, perfect God. And that is why God can seem so far away. Imagine for a moment that there was a special chip planted in the laptop at the back. And everything that you've ever thought, everything that you've ever done, everything that you've ever said was cunningly logged in the memory of that laptop. And at any one moment, all of your thoughts, all of your words, all of your actions could immediately be beamed onto this huge screen behind us. The Bible calls this kind of rejection of God sin. And you know, it goes as far as using these strong terms where it says, we were dead in our sins, separated from God, now separated from God for eternity. You know, a week ago, in fact, 2 or 3 weeks ago, actually, it was now, there was a guy, a footballer, who was in the middle of a football game. His name was Fabrice Muamba. He was playing for Bolton, and he was playing against a team called Tottenham. Now, you've got some Bolton fans in the house, by the sounds of it. And, you know, what happened was that as he was running, he suddenly collapsed, and his heart stopped beating. And the doctors have said that for 78 minutes, he was, to all intents and purposes, he was dead. And they had to resuscitate him time and time again to try and keep life in him. You could be effectively dead in your sins for years. For me, it was 24 years of my life where I was dead in my sin. That's what the Bible says. Previously, see, where I thought that the story of Jesus and the resurrection was nothing more than a fairy tale, I've come to know the reality as I've explored the evidence behind this incredible truth that Jesus is alive. Today, I believe that God wants to wake some people up, and he wants to invite people to have new life in him. You see, we have a God that specializes in hopeless situations. Jesus came to get you. And you, and you, and you, and you. One of the things that I believe that God wants to do today is actually say, you know what? Easter is a great time to come back to God. It's a great time to come back to God. And I believe that Jesus wants to extend the invitation to many of you here today who might actually be in one of a number of different brackets. There might be people here today who have said, you know, I feel like I've had a relationship with God. I feel like there was once upon a time when I was living for him, where I knew him as my personal savior, but actually now I realize that I've slipped away. I realize that I have grown distant from that relationship that I've been drawn to. And then there are a second group of people here who I believe that you might even be here for the very first time. You might have come and you thought, you know, hey, I didn't even know there was this many bouncy people in Bedford. I didn't realize that people got this excited over something which I actually thought might not have even had any kind of relevance in my life. Well, I believe that God is calling some of you guys today to say, do you want to step into that relationship which you were created for? At the end of this service, if you fall into either of those two brackets, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God, to restore that relationship which Jesus came to restore. You know, there are many people who will give you self-help books, who will give you manuals as to how to restore your life. Jesus is the only one who can truly do it for us. It was 3 months, I realized, before I became a believer, when I went out into a Waterstones bookshop and bought a book by a guy called Paul McKenna saying, how to change your life in 7 days. Sometimes you don't even realize quite how lost you are. I never read that book, but even then, looking back, I know I was searching. I wanted something more in this life. There must be more to life than this. There must be more to life than this. I want to tell you boldly, declare it, proclaim it. There is more to life than this. His name is Jesus. Let's look at that verse again. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You know, some people ask the question, though, why couldn't it have just been ignored? Why couldn't God have just said, you know what, sin, it's not that big a deal. Why can't we just, you know, have that relationship, spend eternity in heaven with him anyway? Well, one of the best illustrations I've found is a little bit like this. If it were the case that in the UK right now there was a high court judge, and every day people would go before him, and there would be people who would stand. First one perhaps was a robber. And the robber sort of stood before him knowing that he was guilty. The high court judge said to him, do you know what? I'm in a really good mood today. It doesn't matter. You just carry on through. What about if there was someone who was a murderer? Who went forward and stood before the high court judge and said, you know, that mistake that you made, I'm sure you didn't mean to. Carry on. What about if there are people who, in all sorts of different situations, who had abused and twisted and mocked and ridiculed and actually went before him and said, you know, the sin, it's not that big a deal. What would we say? It'd be wrong. It would be wrong. We'd be furious. The injustice of it all. You know, BBC News headlines would be going crazy all about this judge who's supposedly doing the right thing but isn't making people stand up to what they'd actually done. What would happen if he just said, you know, it doesn't matter, we all make mistakes? Well, of course, that judge isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's just turning a blind eye to it. And you know, the Bible says that God is the judge of all the earth. And the reality is that he's a totally just judge. a totally just judge who will do the right thing. And you know, the Bible also declares that the wages of sin, the stuff that we've all done, is death. Separation, spiritually, physically, permanently. But here's the thing. In our courtroom, just as we're stood before this righteous judge, somebody comes in to take our place. Somebody steps forward to take the punishment that we deserved onto himself. The death penalty that should have been ours, Jesus hung on a cross, died in our place. And what we have to realize is that God is both just and judge, but also the loving Father who willingly sent his Son, who offered his life to pay the penalty in our place and for our sins. God treated Jesus the way we deserved, punishing him for the sins of every person who would ever believe in him. That's not the end of the story, is it? Easter is not just a party for Christians. God is saying, I welcome you in. I welcome you in. Let me read you a short account of a story that I heard. On the morning of July 1st, 1916, the first day of the Battle of Somme, rifleman Rowan Quigg of the 12th Battalion Royal Irish Volunteers met a fierce response from German machine guns. His platoon had advanced three times, but on each was beaten back by the ferocity of the defenders. But it was after the assaults in which hundreds of men lost their lives and many lay injured. But Quigg volunteered to go out and to try and find survivors. And over the course of 7 hours, he ventured and under intense gun and shell fire on no less than seven different occasions. Each time he returned with a wounded colleague, having gone out into no man's land to find someone who is hurt. It is said that on his last foray into no man's land, he crawled to within yards of the German wire and dragged a badly injured man back on a ground sheet. And these heroic actions earned Robert Quigg the Victoria Cross. I don't know about you, but I get inspired when I hear stories of the great heroes of the past. And yet, do you know, to those seven men, Robert Quigg was far more than just a hero. He, for them, in that moment, was a personal savior. Someone who went to go and get them. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus is to each one of us. He is someone who personally gave himself up for you individually to restore you to that relationship. See, it's not enough that we go to church. No amount of going to church can help us to restore that relationship. It's not enough that we do good things. Walking ladies over streets and giving a little bit to comic relief every year. It's not enough that we would do that. We're all in debt. But Jesus came to be a personal savior to each one of us. He has gone over the top. He's gone into enemy lines. He's gone into no man's land, as it were, and died to bring us new life. And the reason that we can know it's complete was because he rose. Because he rose from death. So we can look at him now and know him personally now as our Savior who came to rescue and redeem us. The question that I want to ponder you is this. Have you responded to his invitation? Have you repented? That's turning away from your sin and trusting in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You see, baptism, and what we're going to see in a minute, is a picture of what happened to Jesus. It's a picture of him being buried in the tomb and then coming to new life. And we associate with him by doing the same thing. We die to our old self as we go down into the water and then are raised to new life with him. Jesus was the conquering one who overcame sin and death on Easter Sunday. Have you ever seen on a letter, sometimes people put four initials right at the end. It says RSVP. And that stands for, it's French, it's Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît. Which loosely translated into English means, Are you coming or not? You see, God is throwing a party. There are 8 people today who are declaring, I've accepted the invitation. I'm going to the party. I've received forgiveness. And there are 2 groups of people that I mentioned that I want to pray with today. Those people who say, I want to come. I want to come. Now, the wonderful thing is this. You don't have to write an email to respond. You don't have to sit down and write a handcrafted letter. But it does take a step of boldness when you make a decision that says, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, the one who came and the one who rose again, the one who died in my place for my sin, turning away from your old life and giving him, the one who deserves it, what he has called us to. And so what I would like to do is I want to ask everyone, even across the room, to close their eyes. And I want to pray for you. If you want to respond, if you know, I want to accept that invitation. I want to give my life to Jesus this day. Then I want to pray a prayer for you and with you. What you can do is you can repeat this in your heart to say, yes, Jesus, this day I'm accepting your invitation. Jesus, I say thank you for dying in my place and for my sins. I choose today to turn away from all I know is wrong. I choose today to respond to your invitation, receive your forgiveness, and give you my life.